Blog Talk Radio. National Empowerment Radio presents Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Real issues, real talk on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. I'm Dr. Wendy, and tonight is Father's Day. This is Father's Day evening, 2015. It is June 21st, everyone, and thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me this evening. I am in Illinois this evening, and we have some very, very, very interesting topics to talk about this evening. So I'd like to delve straight into the latest news. This has really been an interesting, wow, I'd say 7 to 10 days. From a news perspective. However, I'd like to, some of you are new. I see that you're new. I got a couple messages from you, and I'd like to welcome you to my show. Thank you for the support. This is an internet radio show, and there are a couple ways that you can tune in. You can go straight to my link. The link is blogtalkradio.com/ Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy, or you can simply dial in. It's very simple. You can simply dial in, and you can listen to the show as well. My number is 347-326-9755. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started. Tonight we have two interesting topics. Not quite sure. I know I've received several emails and text messages and phone calls, people asking if I'm going to talk about these topics this evening. However, I'd like to talk about the one that's really most important to me this evening, and that was the Charlotte church shooting that happened several days ago. And as we all know, it was definitely a tragic occurrence with the gunman going into going into the church. It was really, really sad. It was Emmanuel AME Church. They've obviously, all churches have survived several things. This particular church even survived an angry white mob several years ago trying to infiltrate their church. However, a few days ago, we had a white gunman fatally shoot 9 of its members, including the head pastor, during Bible study last week. It was heart-wrenching. It is incredible that someone, this young guy, I believe he's 20 or 21 years old, goes to the church, and I know this whole case has gone viral. You've seen the picture of him going to the church, and he actually sat in Bible study with them for some time, and then at a certain point in time. In the Bible study, he just stood up and noted that he was here to shoot black people. So, very sad situation. Very, very sad situation. My heart and prayers goes out to the 9 families in Charleston. So, with that said, the issue that has come and that everyone's talking about now is security in churches. Does your church need security? Should your church consider security? And it's a very, very valid question. Now, here there were, I just went back, you know, as I always do, and I did some research here, and just several other occurrences happened within the last several years. Back in December 2007, New Life Church in Colorado Springs, there was a 21-year-old that went in and shot, killed 2 people and wounded 3. And this gunman committed suicide when confronted by an armed church member. He wasn't a member of the church, and this shooting occurred during church services. Then in August 2007, at the First Congregational Church in Missouri, We had a 52-year-old man. He killed 3 people and wounded 4. And he surrendered to police. And he noted that the thing that motivated him was a family argument. Then we have someone else, another occurrence in May 2007, First Presbyterian Church in Idaho. We have a 36-year-old man. He killed 1. And he also committed suicide, and it's unknown what motivated this particular person. So, I mean, I can go on and on and on. There were several in 2006 and 2005, 2003, 2002, 2001. Here we have an occurrence in 2001, a Greater Oak Missionary Baptist Church in Kentucky. We have a 35-year-old man killed 2. Police arrested the gunman at the church, and it was a domestic dispute that they say prompted this occurrence. So saying all that to say, here you have these individuals that have walked into these churches with weapons, with guns, with premeditated plans to go in to kill someone or to just kill anyone in the church. And the question becomes, could this have been circumvented if the church has security? Ugh, don't want to go as far as to say, does the church need metal detectors? That's the question of the day. We obviously do not want to see something like this happen again. However, what do we do? What do we do to prevent armed individuals to freely go into a church? They call Tom. So, we want to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to go to several of my comments that I've received here via text, the email, or phone calls, and bear with me here. I'm just going to take a look at some of the emails that I received here. Just taking a look at some and just combining those that pretty much have the same theme. Several here note that they're giving their condolences to the families in Charleston and note that it definitely was a tragedy. However, these particular people here note that, no, church should not have security. They should not have metal detectors. Church is not the place for those things. That's interesting. So with that said, what do we do? How do we prevent someone from going into, an armed person going into a church? If you're saying that churches don't need security. Now, I'll tell you this. I'll share something with you that actually occurred at Brook Hollow Missionary Baptist Church in Houston when I was at service. This probably was 2 years ago, maybe three, four years ago. I was at service, and this guy, he wasn't a white guy, and I'm talking a black church, okay, in Houston, very large church, black church in Houston. And this guy walks in, he looked weird. It was just odd, okay? He looked out of place. And I was at a service, I believe it was an 8 o'clock service, and the guy walked straight up to the front of the church, sat probably in the second row, maybe if not the first row, and people just knew. They were all high alert. They just knew something was going on with him. So here, typically, you have the men sitting in the front on the front row. That's what I've noticed in several of the churches that I've attended. You have the men sitting in the front in some capacity. So I just noticed that, you know, these men gave each other eye contact and they gave each other this signal to watch the guy. You just see them passing this body language to them to watch the guy because he just looked suspicious. Well, interestingly enough, as Pastor West continued to preach, this guy just out of the blue said something. He stood up and he said something, and I don't know if I recall right, he made a mad dash to the pastor. Now, mind you, at the time, the church was still going through renovations, and they were still building the sanctuary, and it wasn't built, so we were having services in the gym. And the way it was set up in the rec center / gym, there was a stage. So he was up on the stage. However, you could see that the guy was trying to make a mad dash to him. So he didn't pull a gun out or anything like that. However, the men knew that there was something suspicious, and he just came across as being suspicious. So I'm saying all that to say, if we had security, would we have noticed it? Could we have prevented him? Nothing tragically happened. However, these other occurrences that happened in these other cities and states, if these churches had security, if these churches had metal detectors, could we have prevented these things, these deaths from occurring? Okay, so here I'm taking a look at some other messages here, and it notes that definitely a tragic situation that occurred in Charleston. It appears from what I'm seeing, this man was mentally challenged. This particular person notes that it's not all so much that churches need security and metal detectors. We need stricter gun laws. There's no way this particular person should have been issued a gun. Knowing, some people even noted knowingly that he was, he had racial. He did not like black people. He had posted several things on his Facebook that noted that there were some racial concerns with him. And I believe that gun that he received, he was given that gun. I believe his parents gave him that gun for his 21st birthday, if I'm not mistaken. So that's interesting. The gun laws, that's something else that has come up. The gun laws, what do we need to do to, what do we do for parents that purchase their kids a gun? How do you prevent that? Did his parents know that he had some racial challenges? Okay, I got somebody sitting here sending me a text saying absolutely they knew, being that this guy was very young, and that is a learned behavior that he has. It's not something that he went to school to learn. It's something that this person is essentially saying he learned from home. So, okay, good comments. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, when you do send me, and I do appreciate your thoughts because your opinions matter, when you email or text me your thoughts, or if you decide to dial in, please give me your first name and the city that you are either texting, emailing, or calling from. All right, let me continue here because I have a lot of comments on this particular case about churches and security. Okay, here's another person here noting that they agree that churches need security. However, this person notes that only certain churches need security. This person notes that it depends on the location of the church, and if the particular church is, they noted, in the hood, it needs security. I'm on the fence with that one. I'm a little concerned about that comment because churches that are necessarily in the hood aren't the only churches that can have this type of tragedy occur. So I definitely don't agree with that one straight up, straight out. I don't. You can have a church that's in a nice area or an area that's not considered the hood, and the same thing can happen. So, you know, obviously this particular church in Charleston, Emmanuel AME Church, was targeted because I would think of its population, obviously, because this gentleman that went and killed these nine people was a racist and had issues with black people. So let's see here. Just looking at some of the information that, again, this is a heart-wrenching story. Nine people at Bible study. Again, for those of you that are new, that are joining the show, tonight we're talking about the Charleston church shooting, and not also much talking about the shooting itself and the guy that did the shootings. I believe that we've all seen enough of that. My particular question that I wanted to address this evening is churches. Should churches start to consider security? It just seems as if we have these congregations and it's open field. It can be open field. So here we have people that are going to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday to either worship or have Bible study, and anyone off the street can walk in. So it's just, are we targets? Do we need to do something about it? Tell us what you think. Does your church need security? Has anything like I mentioned earlier, occurred. I mentioned earlier that I was at church and there was this gentleman that just came and he actually lashed out to Pastor West. I was in Houston and I was at Brook Hollow Missionary Baptist Church in Houston. And it was just really weird. Everyone knew that there was something going on, that this gentleman was not, I'll say, normal per se, and that they needed to be on high alert and watch his behavior. I have to commend the gentleman. They did, and they were on guard, and he actually stood up. I don't even remember what he mumbled, but whatever he did, they actually were able to restrain him and take him out of the church. So, with that said, let me go back to some of the comments here that I have, and then I'll wrap this particular topic up because this is it's a very, very touchy situation, and it's something that we really need to take a step back. I think the church administrations at various locations across the country need to take a look at their security. Interestingly enough, in this particular case, they had the they had this gentleman on camera. They had him on camera walking into the church. And he, oddly enough, sat with them during some of their Bible study and then just stood up and shot nine people at close range. So is this a gun control issue or is it a security issue with the various churches that exist? Is this something that you should go back and discuss with your congregation when it comes to security? And does it really matter? Okay, so let me go back here and just take a look at, I'm getting some text messages here from people about their churches, and it's interesting. It's sometimes it swings 70-30, where some people think that the churches really need to take a step back and consider security, and then I'll get a slew of messages in. And it's 70-30 on the other. It goes, the pendulum swings on the other end where people don't think that it's also much a church security issue as they do a gun control issue. So now let's take a look at this particular case. And we're talking about gun control. Now, it looks as if here with this particular case, the parents purchased the gun for their son. So how would this case, is a little different in that it appears as if the gentleman was given the gun as for a gift, and it looks like his parents bought the gift, bought the gun for a gift. So with that said, this particular case couldn't have been circumvented. So then you take a look at the parents and you ask, did they know what was really going on? I do. I think that they knew that their son definitely was a racist and had issues with black people. Did they think that he would go and shoot up a church? No, I'm not going to say that. However, I think that they knew enough. I think that they knew enough to not give him a gun. I mean, he's a young kid. He appeared as if, just from what I read and the pictures that I've seen, this kid's a hothead. So why would you go and give a hothead a gun? That's the last thing that you want to do when you know you have someone that feels a certain way about a certain race. So it's just, it's very interesting in that you really have to be mindful of your surroundings in church. So for me, what are my thoughts? What's my take? I think churches need to take a step back and assess security at the church. Now, thinking back on Brook Hollow, they did have security. They do have security. I should say when I was attending, they had security at the church. So, yes, they definitely had security at. I'm just thinking about the times that I attended. I know there were people driving around the lot. And I do recall, not often, I recall a person with a uniform on as well. So considering the times that we live in, should we beef up or should churches beef up their security? Absolutely. Something needs to be done about the security in the churches. I think that churches should take a step back and and assess if this is a move that they should make considering these days and times. Now, don't get me wrong. I got somebody just sent me a text. They're saying that the people at my church, we're not talking about the people at your church. We're talking about people that typically randomly come off the street that have their own personal issues, and they go in and they take it out on the congregations. That's what we've seen here. I've mentioned over the past several years different things have happened in different cities, and just looking, I'm going back here to the research that I looked up here, and let me see here, several of the first one that I mentioned in December 2007 and August 2007, one person, this particular person, no, these two people were not members of the church. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at all of my research here, and when they say member, I'm sure they're talking documented member, someone that went through the new member process. But however, none of the people here that did the shootings were members of these various churches in Michigan and Louisiana and Washington and Idaho and Missouri and Colorado. No, they were not members of the church. So I'm saying all that to say I had someone to send me a message and saying, well, you know, I don't think that we should have security and police at our church because I attend a respectable church and it's in a location where that would not, something like that would not happen. I just don't agree with that. I think that you have some people that get caught up in the location of the church and the social class of the individuals that attend the church. It doesn't matter. Church is church, and the way things are set up with church, anyone can attend the church. So you can't necessarily say what someone at your church will do. So, again, no, don't agree with you at all. This is someone else that I don't agree with. Again, I think that people need to take a step back and assess their churches and definitely consider some form of security. So with that said, like I said, I've received a lot of comments via text and email. For those of you, if you are interested in dialing in, remember, my number is 347-326-9755. Now, if you do decide to dial in, I will simply say to you what your last four digits of your phone number consist of. I do ask that if you dialed in and have a comment or a thought, simply give me your first name and what city you are dialing in from. Now, I see a couple of people right now in my switchboard, and the first person that I see, the last four digits of your phone number is 8226. With that said, again, I know that some of you dial in to listen to the show, and I do appreciate that. And I know some of you dial in because you have a comment. So, again, this particular person, your last four digits, the last four digits of your phone number is 8226. Please, if you have a comment to make, just simply give me your first name and what city you are dialing in from. Okay, you are live on the air. What's on your mind? Do you have anything to say? You're live on Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy, or are you just simply listening to the show? Okay, I will take silence as you are listening to the show. Appreciate your support. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about that topic. We talked about security and the churches, and I shared with you some thoughts. Again, I'm not changing my mind. I think churches need to take a step back and assess security and get security on your grounds. You cannot say what people are not going to do. You just can't do it. All right. The next topic here. Oh, this one was very interesting for me. Not the most important topic, but it was definitely newsworthy because it was had to have been the most tweeted, the most Facebook topic of the last couple of, I think, maybe 7 to 10 days. And it is this Rachel Dolezal is now the former head of the Spokane, Washington's NAACP chapter. This particular woman, when the news first hit, I had noted, I went back, and I wanted to find out how all of this came about. You know, what triggered all of this? What prompted this? And I found that there were some parents that were questioning her race. They did not believe that she was who she said she was portraying to be. So with that said, that they obviously, when I say the parents and the people and the members of the NAACP, questioned her race. So with that said, it turns out that here we have a white woman that was identifying and calling herself black. She was saying she was African American. And it was, when I first heard the story, I was like, what is this? So here, you know, first I was surprised to see that here you have a white woman that wants to be black? Really? If anything, you have a white woman that will say to you that she's glad she's not black. Here you have a white woman that wants to be black and says she can identify as being black, which obviously got my attention. I had people calling and texting me saying, you got to talk about this one. Well, you know, it got my attention, and then it didn't get my attention because I just thought it was just so ridiculous, being that here you have a woman that was born white and apparently her parents had adopted two black sons. And from what I gathered from the research over the years, the two boys noted that she started to transition, started acting black. And, you know, it's kind of funny when people say white people act black. You know, I pretty much identify them as being a Vanilla Ice or a Tina Marie. That's how I leverage it. That's the term I use. So here you have this chapter president that's white but identifies as being black. And this whole story prompted social media, cable news across the country, trying to make some kind of sense out of this. Now, the thing, first off, it was just insulting for me as a black woman for there to be a white woman that could actually state that she could identify with being black because she has two black sons and she could relate to the black experience. What? Really? Then I stopped listening. I was like, this is foolishness. This is garbage. I am not going to sit and entertain this foolishness. Well, as I stopped listening, I noticed that it was more and more in the news. So obviously, if it's in the news, I got to have my ear to the ground. So here we are. I look up, and she's being interviewed by Melissa Perry and the Today Show. And this woman is sitting up here saying, and not to mention, she went to historically black university, college and university. She went to HBCU. I was like, what? Yes, she did, ladies and gentlemen. She went to an HBCU. So there's obviously something going on up there that the elevator's not going all the way to the top. So I did saw an interview by her parents that noted that she's white. She was born white. They are parents. And then when I heard that, I remember seeing a picture with her with a black older guy where she said that this man was her. I was just all over the place. So then I ended up hearing this term, transracial. Really? You have got to be kidding me. Transracial? Here you have this whole thing caught in the crossfire of her actually identifying as being transracial. That took it over the top for me. So with that said, I'm hoping that you had an opportunity to listen to the video that I included in the messaging that I sent out. And I believe if it was not Melissa Perry, it was someone else that flat out wanted to know if she was black, and she straight up said yes. I'm insulted. I'm appalled that here you have a white woman that has absolutely no clue of the black experience outside of her, saying that she can identify because she grew up with some black kids and she went to an HBCU. No, there's definitely something going on, and she needs some counseling. As for being transracial, no, I don't believe this whole transracial term. Now I'm getting text messages. I know people. I knew this was going to be one where you're going to send me text messages. And I have several people here asking me, you know, what is this transracial term? They had never heard of it before. Well, it's the actual definition of it is across or crossing racial barriers, okay? Across or crossing racial barriers. So here we have this racial woman that notes that she has crossed racial barriers. I'll leverage some of this definition. She crossed racial barriers because of how she grew up, because of her experience at HBCU, felt that she could relate to the Black experience, and that she considered herself a Black woman. Huh. Ladies, I want to hear from you. Please send me a text message or call in. I want to hear what you have to say. I know when I first heard it, I was perplexed. I was insulted. I was appalled. And it's a huge slap in the face in that no one that is of another race will ever understand the Black woman plight, ever. No one can ever tell me that you understand the Black experience, because at any point in time, she can take the kinky weave out of her hair, she can straighten her hair, and then whenever she wakes up and chooses to, she can stop tanning, and then she will start, when she starts filling out applications and writing other things, she will then go back to being white when it's convenient for her. Can we as Black women do that? Can we become transracial? Well, let me take a step back. Some of us can. Let me make sure I'm clear on that. Some of us can and some of us do. But I'll say, however, there are Black women that don't have that choice. So now here we have Rachel that feels that she can go back and forth at her leisure and when it's convenient for her? I don't think so. So for me, that's why I say it's insulting to say that she can relate to the Black experience or that she's Black when the opportunity presents itself. So as you can see, that was definitely a topic of the week that just really chapped my hide. So here I see somebody else who's joined us on my line here. You did not put in a phone number. I just see 1111. That's fine too. I appreciate your support. Here you can have a voice on the line, or if you choose to just be silent and let me know that you're listening, that's fair too. However, I do ask, if you do have a voice or a comment, that you do just give me your first name and let me know what city you are calling in from. So with that said, you are officially live on the air. You are live with Let's Talk with Dr. Wendy. Do you have a comment or a thought?
Greetings, Dr. Wendy. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. My name is Ocean, and actually, I have a comment and a question. As a matter of fact, I have two comments and a question. Now, my first comment is this: regarding the Rachel situation, I wonder if we in the African American quote unquote Black community understand the how do I say this without offending anyone?
Say it.
What, you know, and I don't want to hurt feelings, and I don't want to appear mean-spirited, but I want to say as sweetly as I can,
okay.
What is our role? What is our role in this woman propelling herself forward as a Black woman? What role do we play in it in the Black community? Because I understand this one thing. She understood that it is advantageous to put on a nappy
Absolutely.
Wig and present yourself as a Black woman, because when you are of lighter skin tone, people in the Black community make ways for you. So I'm just simply saying, what we need to own up to the racism within our very own culture
within
that allows
our,
other people to, right, to
yep.
thrive and make money off of us and create differences
yep.
and biases. It is a very, you know what, we can't even move forward as a people because we are so broken with this sycophant
yep.
relationship over skin color. This white chick said, mm-hmm. you know, I'm
yep.
a 3 at best as a white woman, but the brothers think I'm a 9 or a 10 if I, you know, and what happened, and I know I sound choppy, but when white people eat lots of carrots, they turn orange. So that's another way of getting a, you know, a red look to the complexion without using fake tans and stuff. And I don't propose that this is what she did, but it looks like she's been eating a lot of carrots. Yeah, you guys can Google that. But I want to talk to you about transracial as well. I have a comment about that. They're saying that transracial means that it is, what was the definition that you gave, that it transcends race, basically is what they're saying. But you see, that's just to pull the wool over the eyes of the unsuspected sheeple people. Because when you check out the transhumanism community, which has been in commission for a very long time now, and they're very powerful, and it has a very the academic community are heavily syncopated in this transhumanism community. And when they say transhumanism, just like transracial, they are saying that they in a sense, now I'm just paraphrasing this, in a sense, what they are doing is, because they have the best situation, but they're simply making it better by borrowing small things.
That's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. By borrowing small things from other genomes that will help them become super man or woman. So by them calling her, people wake up. When they tell her she is transracial, they're saying that she's got the best DNA being white. She's simply borrowing some attributes. So don't be fooled. Mm-hmm. They're not fooling me. And the other thing I want to say is this. When we look at this woman right here, I'm not angry. I could give two damns about her putting on that nappy wig, that Jerry Curl wig. I could care less. I don't have a problem with it. But what I have a problem with is that I feel like she is trying to infiltrate communities and subcultures within the African American community. She had the audacity to give a lecture on how we should do our hair as black women, including herself.
Isn't that insulting? When I saw that, I said, "What? She is and got away with it though." That's the thing.
But I want to open your mind to something that people are not seeing.
What's that?
One of the biggest money-making communities that will carry a lot of political clout, voting clout, there is the natural hair community. And if they want to infiltrate it, you see what I'm saying? We have got to stop thinking like children.
Mm-hmm.
We have got – here you have – scores of black women who are wearing their natural hair, who have changed the landscape on hair products. These are women of voting age, and these are women who are coming into voting age. These are women who are property owners. These are women who are in corporate America. They transcend densities is what I'm trying to say. Now, don't think that they don't want to infiltrate that natural hair community. Because should those women get together and become a cohesive unit and decide they're going to vote folks in and out of office, they're going to change the way property is purchased in certain areas. They're going to, you understand where I'm going with this, right?
Oh, absolutely, I do.
So I feel like this is nothing but damage control. I think she's an agent. I don't think that she's crazy. I don't think this is his happenstance. I think that we are so raggedy as a people and so color struck. You hear brothers saying, "Oh, she's a dime as a black chick. She look good. At least she helping black folk." You know, just ridiculous. But I think her role is to infiltrate and undermine public policy and whatever she can get. I'm just sorry. That's what I think. And lastly, I want to show you, and I don't, and please, if you're a Christian, please don't be offended. I just need to be totally candid about this. In the churches all across this Northern American container, ever since this country was colonized, since the Africans that were already here were recolonized and colonized, and they presented Christianity, they presented this white Jesus the Christ. And so, and still in many black churches and homes, you still see that white Jesus the Christ, and I'm going somewhere with this. And in white churches, you see that white Jesus the Christ. But I want you to know that in Colorado, you guys can check this out, there's a security guard that worked for a mega church, and her name was Jean Assam, a white female security guard. Now, there's a white Jesus on the wall in her church. And when a white man came in there looking all strange, thought he was going to shoot up the congregation, she put a live round in his head. Shot him. He shot a couple of the parishioners, but she put him down in like 3 seconds. They asked her, how did she pick him up so quick? She said, she says, that's what I'm trained to do in this church, secure the lives of the people. What I'm saying here is, and excuse me for my emotions getting out of control, but you have white people where the Jesus on the wall looks like them, and they're not waiting on Jesus to protect the people. The white woman put a bullet in a white man's head that thought he was going to shoot people, and here you have a black church with no security that let a creepy-looking white guy walk in and kill many people.
My gosh.
Yes. And looking creepy. And why is it? Why is it that the white folks, they would have killed him? He may have gotten off one or two rounds, but they would have put him down. But I'm just saying, why are we the last to come around and the first to go? I just don't understand
it, and I'm brokenhearted.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that. And, you know, when I heard it, when I first saw, you know, they had the picture of him at the door, and I was mortified to know that he not only, they let him in, didn't question anything, he sat with these people during Bible study, and he gets up and he shoots these 9 people close range. It's really unfortunate. I don't want anyone, and I understand what you're saying when you say don't take this the wrong way, and I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way either, but I've just seen and believe that we are too trusting as a race. I just don't think that a white congregation would have allowed a man to come in like that. I just think things would have been handled differently. I really do. It was just really disheartening to know that not only did the man come in, he didn't bum rush the church. He came in and sat down, and like you said, was creepy looking. This kid looks like something's wrong with him. He looks like the elevator does not go all the way to the top, and he sat there for a while. Actually, he didn't just go in and start shooting right away. He sat there.
Yeah. And so I'm saying, I don't even look at the avatars, and I'm purposely not looking at the pictures. I can't look at those grandmamas. That really is hurting. I'm hurt. And I am not giving, I heard a sister say she's not giving any more passes. I'm not giving any more passes to able-bodied adult men and women, the parishioners in the church. If you cannot protect the people, then don't have service. I don't care who you forgive. These are people's grandmamas and mamas. These people were needed.
They are. Yep.
Now, if the white man don't trust the creepy looking people walking up in his church, what is wrong with black folks if they're trusting them?
That's what I'm saying. Why do we trust it?
So scared somebody can take our title away of loving everybody. I'm just so tired of black folk trying to hold up this image. Like we are the moral compass and the forgivers of the world. You know, our hearts bleed for everyone. It's just too much. And I just wanted to, you know, add that in. Thank you so much for your time and your patience with me. Just want to shed some light on those issues.
Let me ask you this. I want you to email me because I'd like to have you on as a guest for other shows, if you don't mind. If you can email me so we can correspond offline.
Okay. Okay.
I'd like to bring you
in
on some shows. Yes, go ahead.
I want to tell you that I have you can leave me a message at It's Only Ocean. I don't have a show. I don't have a blog talk show, but I have an account. I used to do, things. I used to give little lectures on blog talk, but I don't, and in probably a year I haven't, and I still don't.
Okay.
But I'm saying, please get me your information. It's Only Ocean in the blog talk. I have an account, and I will get back with you, and I would love to talk with you about some of these issues. And before I leave, can I get your opinion on this? We agree that we do have a dog to hunt in this colorism issue in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know that HBO, Nielsen, everybody, they do research on the black community because they have said, I'm talking about prominent think tanks, have said that this culture, this African-American culture and the music that comes from it determines how people around the world purchase things, how they wear their clothes and so forth. So if we see racism in our music industry that is used as propaganda against us and paraded around the world, do you feel that has something to do with the situation in the Dominican Republic? They are right now, as we speak, they're actively kicking Haitians out of the Dominican Republic. And when I watch the news reels, even the private ones that are smuggled out, the Haitians are saying it's because we are black. They are taking us who look African. That is he says they do not care how long we've been here. And they say they're adamant about it being a color issue. I wonder if you think that we in this culture, in this North American container, if we have anything to do with that.
Absolutely, I think we do. I think it's to your point. I think the media drives a lot, if not the majority of that. I agree with you 100%. I definitely believe with what you said about the person said it's because we are black. Absolutely. The stereotypes, the different things that goes on in the media, I think a lot of that has a lot to do with it in that the messaging isn't accurate. So it gives society this missed message that things are a certain way when they're really not. So here we have these Haitians that, like you said, are being completely thrown out for reasons that, in many cases, are factual.
We are in trouble.
We are.
We are
oh
in
my
trouble
gosh.
Worldwide.
And
this is a crisis.
We are.
Yeah.
It is. And that's why, you know, I always have certain people on the show. They'll call in, and then I end up having them as a guest when they bring valuable dialogue. And that's what I'm actually getting. I've gotten messages off of what you said. So I'm definitely going to reach out to you so we can start some dialogue, and I'd love to have you on the show. And I thank you for dialing in tonight because you got people riled up, you added value to the conversation. And, you know, my show is about educating individuals because I'll tell you, I want to have a show. I've talked about the prejudice that we have within our race, light skin, dark skin, and all these other things. And I'm definitely going to run another show on that because you're right. When this racial case first hit, that's all I was hearing is, okay, well, here you got this white chick that's passing to be light-skinned black, and, you know, I had some black people said they didn't have a problem with it because she looked like she was light-skinned, but then I had some that say she's white. So it's just we have issues within our own race that even to this day we still haven't settled. I mean, and in many instances, it has gotten worse. So That's another conversation for another day. But like I said, I like the value that you brought for the show. That's a totally different topic that I plan on having again. And I just want to thank you for dialing in, and I'll reach out to you for sure.
Thank you. I'm going to continue to listen if it's okay.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to wrap it up because you got people going here, and I'm definitely not going to have time to talk about. Yeah, you did. You got people going. I have the majority of my people. They will text or email me. And when you started, definitely when you brought up the issues that we have within our own race, I had a lot of people text me noting that that's a topic that we didn't need to talk about, especially as Black women, light skin, dark skin, and how a lot of times we don't get along because of that issue. And many of them noticed that they didn't know about the carrot issue with white people eating a lot of carrots. They didn't know that one as well. I didn't know that one. So I got people Googling it. They're like, oh, yeah, I did. I Googled it, and she's right. I didn't know that. So it's just things like that. And then I have a couple of men here that note that our Black women have issues that they need to really work out. Our race has we will continue to have challenges as long as – I'm actually reading from some of the messages that I have here – as long as we have this light-skin, dark-skin issue amongst in our race. And then I have some here that started to text me after your church comment and noted that they were appalled that this white kid was able to go into this Black church. The pastor's there. You have these people in Bible study. He just came in with a weapon, and there was no protection for anyone, and he was able to kill 9 people. So they definitely agree with you. And here I have a gentleman that noted that that Black people are known as being the race that forgives. That's what we do. We forgive, and that's part of our problem is that we are known as having forgiving hearts, and he does not think that a crazy-looking Black kid would have been able to walk into a white church like that without being questioned or just something different happened. He just doesn't think that they would have allowed him to sit there like that. So,
no, I want to refer you to Jean Assam, the white female security guard who shot a guy looking like this who tried to wander in their church and kill people. Now, if they don't see these creepy-looking white guys, I don't understand why Black folks are. That's all I'm saying. And lastly, I'm going to start asking my grandma's church, do you have security? Because I'm not going to allow my grandma to go sit up in these churches like a sitting duck. And so I'm going to yield the mic to you again.
Thank you
so much.
Where did this happen? Gina Somm, where did this happen? Was it in Colorado?
A mega church in Colorado, and she is a hero right now because when she saw, she you have to read the whole story because what she says was, you know, as a security guard, her job was to protect the congregation. And when this guy came in creepy looking, you know, just kind of not, you know, going with the flow of service, but he got off a couple of rounds. And she said as soon as she came around the corner, it was like Heat with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. She said, I had to put him down. It's as simple as that. And what I'm saying is, here are white people who they see the Jesus on the wall made in the image of them, and they're not waiting for him to protect them in the church. But you got Black folks that let this white guy come in creepy with a page boy haircut and shoot down people, and they weren't even concerned about him with their backs to him and everything. It's just, you know, people, I don't want to offend you Christians, but the Black church is going to have to do better, really. They're going to have to do better.
Yeah, I looked at this woman, and it says Gina Somm, a deranged man, entered this woman's church, and she began killing people. She pulled out her legal concealed gun and shot him several times, realizing he could not proceed. The gunman then turned his gun on himself. At this time, she's declared a hero. Wow. And that's just excerpts of the story. I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing. And then actually underneath that, it goes into this whole Charlotte shooting about what should happen with what needs to happen with churches and protecting the church, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I agree. I think this whole question of security in the church should definitely have been posed after this happened. And I think that we need to definitely take a look and change some things because just allowing our door to be open and not think that people are, whether they look like us or not, will not come in and do some harm, like you said, to our grandmothers and mothers and sisters. You know, we're living in a different time, and we just have to take a different approach. So I'm not going to hold you, Ocean, any longer. Like I said, I do appreciate your time, and I'm definitely going to reach out to you for sure, my dear. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been an interesting show. Again, I want to thank Ocean for tuning in, and I'm going to wrap it up. I appreciate those of you that have texted and emailed me this evening. We can continue to talk about Rachel. We can continue to talk about the church and the killings, but I believe that we've talked enough, and we have, I think we all agree that churches do need to take a step back and assess their security and determine if they need security in their churches. And I agree with Ocean. You know, you have grandmas and brothers and sisters in these churches, and we need to start protecting each other. So, and as for this Rachel case, oh man, that's a horse of a different color. I think we've talked enough about her. I mean, she's gotten enough. She's gotten her 30-second of fame. I just wanted to talk about it to get a feel for what people thought about this transracial. And I love the fact that Ocean brought the point of a lot of the racial issues that we have within our own race that need to be addressed as well. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, man, oh, man, oh, man, I'm going to close out for this evening. I'm going to close out with a song from a good friend of mine. He has a CD called Big Boy. Please go online. The name of the CD is Big Boy, and the artist's name is J. Most. That's J. period M. O-S-T. So please go listen to his music online. And he also has a YouTube video. Please go out there. He has a video that was just published for the video, or I should say the song Big Boy. So just go out on YouTube and enter J.MOST, Big Boy. I actually have a cameo in it. So I'd love for you to go out and listen to his single and then go online and purchase his CD. Last but not least, please go to our website, National Empowerment Group. I have a nonprofit where it's all about women and girl empowerment. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about educating girls and women about self-esteem and being all that you can be. We have several programs and several things that we've done to acknowledge women in the community. So please go out and check out my website. Again, it's called National Empowerment Group. My website is nationalempowermentgroup.org, or you can simply go neginc.org. It's very simple. So, ladies and gentlemen, man, good show tonight. Woohoo! Good show tonight. I appreciate your support. Please tune in next week, as always, for another thought-provoking topic. Have a good week. Good night.
Dance floor with your red pumps. I'ma get you.